This is Steve Campbell at KOWS, and I have with us today Michelle Petticola. And my first question is always, tell me about yourself. So why don't we just start with that? Could we start with that?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So it's kind of interesting, where do I start? And actually, when I first started doing my work, I started telling about myself much later in life, but I realized that my whole... This is probably true for everyone, mm-hmm. is that everything goes back to early childhood. And I was the third daughter in a family with a very young, inexperienced mother and a very somewhat young and very inexperienced father.
Yeah.
And it was at the end of World War II, and first my father he was in the military at the time. So because my mother was inexperienced, I didn't bond with her. I bonded with my father.
Mm-hmm.
And because he was in the military, he was transferred when I was 2 years old. And I mention this because I really want listeners to understand that sometimes the trauma that we experience that has a huge impact on us can seem very minor. It's like, oh, what's the big deal, you know?
Yeah.
He just went away for a few months.
Yeah.
What's
yeah.
the big deal? But for a two-year-old, it's traumatic.
And that was to Japan, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
He went to Japan.
Yeah.
And my mother had to move the whole household to Japan.
Oh, gosh.
And she had just come from Japan when I was born. Literally had just come from Japan when I was born. And then 2 years later had to pack up the whole house and go back again.
Oh, gosh.
And so I imagine it was hugely stressful for her, not to mention she now had three kids and my father wasn't there.
Oh, no. Oh, gosh.
And so she didn't have anything to give me. And I learned to tamp down my feelings. I lost trust in myself, my brilliance in the world, and I became what I call a people pleaser. I decided I must not be good enough, so I had to please people to prove to them that I was worthy of their attention.
Yeah, yeah. And how many of us, same thing, yes.
Yes, do the same thing.
Yeah.
Many, in fact, because we are social beings and we really need each other, especially
mm-hmm.
when we're infants, we really depend on those parents
yes.
to take care of us.
Yes.
And if they don't, we're dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
We can't do it alone, so we really need him. And that was the way in which I solved the problem for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the good news is that in developing that skill of sussing out what other people wanted, it helped me a lot. I did really well in school. I got great grades.
Yeah, tell me about that. You were talking about that before you put it on the air. Tell my listeners about your grades.
Yeah, so high school, National Honor Society, college, Phi Beta Kappa, one of two graduate students in my graduate class.
Which college you go to?
Oh, I went to Douglas College in New Jersey. It was part of, and still is part of, Rutgers University.
Oh,
it's still a women's college.
Wow. 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 How neat. So go ahead.
And I had two sisters who went there before me, and I did really well.
Oh, you all went to the same colleges.
Well, initially, the second sister, she started at Douglas, and then she transferred to Radcliffe.
Okay.
Because she wanted to study Japanese, and Douglas didn't teach Japanese. So.
Okay.
And she was born in Japan, so she had an affinity for Japanese
yeah.
and all things okay. Asian. Anyway, I did really well,
uh-huh.
and even to this day, that ability to suss out what other people want is a very advanced skill, to be able to empathize with people, to understand
yeah.
their experience, because I work with clients who are struggling with their dynamics, their
mm-hmm.
early childhood wounds, and I can help them because I've been there.
Wow. 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 So you went to which college was it again?
I went to Douglas College, which was part of Rutgers University, and
okay.
then I went to graduate school at Indiana University.
And I
studied sociology.
Sociology.
And
okay.
after being there a number of years, I got my first teaching job. Now here's the interesting thing. I did my usual thing, trying to please everyone. But it didn't work. My students needed me to lead, not to please. And I was so busy trying to satisfy all of them, and they all had these different needs that I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And so I lost that job. And it was interesting because before we came on the show, you were telling me how you had lost all these jobs until you finally asked yourself what you want.
Yeah, yeah. And I had never done that before. I was working in hospitals because, you know, it paid well, and you had the, back then, three-piece suits were in vogue, and so I got the dress up and all this, but I kept getting fired. And actually, after about 10 years of this, I took myself out to coffee, and this is way before Starbucks, and I asked myself the question, okay, Steve, this isn't working, and you're not that dumb, so why do you keep getting fired? What would you really, really, really love? If you could do anything in the world, what would you love doing? And I had never asked that question before because it was always, how do I get, you know, the two-car garage and all this, and we were raising two daughters and stuff, and the answer came out immediately, teaching. I love to teach, and eventually I became a teacher, but it was being fired over and over and over that turned the corner for me. And I said, okay, this can't continue. You're not that dumb. So we gotta switch this. And it sounds like that's sort of what happened to you when you got fired.
Well, not right away.
Okay.
Because my brain came in with a different solution than yours.
Okay.
I didn't think right away what is it that I want.
Yeah.
Or that maybe that job was not the right job for me. It was a small Catholic college up in Winona, Minnesota.
Uh-huh.
And I fit in there like, you know, a sore thumb. I did not fit in.
Yeah.
But I never questioned that. What I decided was from then on I was only going to take jobs in which my bosses needed me more than I needed them. So I undersold my education, my intelligence, my brilliance for a while. And my belief, do you have a fairly spiritual-oriented audience out there?
Yes, yes.
So good,
very
because my belief is that
yes.
that
so
our
Sonoma
spirit
County, so, yeah.
really wants us to follow our path.
Yeah.
And it keeps on throwing or getting us in, getting obstacles in our way so that we will wake up and get the learning, the training, the life experiences that will move us in the direction we need.
And sometimes
it takes
a lot of
after taking a number of jobs that were, they were good experiences, but as I said, they undersold my qualities and capabilities.
Yeah, yeah.
My first husband left me.
Oh. What happened?
I don't think I told the listeners here, but I tamped down my emotions.
No, you didn't tell that part.
Okay, so when part of the response to my father being transferred and feeling abandoned was I tamped down my feelings. So I was somewhat of a very cool, aloof kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
The astrology goes along with that too, because I'm an Aquarian. So this the very faint sun of winter.
Yeah.
So I was. And I have Venus in Aquarius, too, so I'm a bit of cool.
Wow.
And so he had issues with that because he had a dream about his mother skating along on this rumpled sheet, but skating smoothly. So she was sort of a cool person, too. So eventually it wasn't working, and he left me. And I was devastated because there was that abandonment.
Now, did you
so what
children?
I did was I joined a spiritual community.
Did you have children yourself when he left you, or no?
No, no children.
Okay, go ahead.
No children. Okay. So I went off to a spiritual community believing that, I didn't have to worry about relationships because the only relationship that would matter was with the divine. So there was that tamping down again.
Yeah.
Fortunately, it was a work of the heart. So it actually opened up my heart. It reconnected me with my feelings, reconnected me with my brilliance, with my gifts.
Uh-huh.
And that was the beginning of a huge change in my life.
Wow. So what was the change that took place then?
Well, one was to gradually, and I, and it's of course a journey, gradually to start to ask myself what it was that I wanted, and to open my heart again and open myself up to feelings. Although I have to say that the spiritual work by itself wasn't enough. I actually needed to do some inner child healing. Because spirit by itself, it's wonderful. You get in a very high state. You're very creative. But you need to have all your faculties on board. Because we live in a material plane. That spiritual part of ourselves is very happy, content to hang out in the ether, to hang out in bliss. But we're here to accomplish things. And so I had to deal with the wounded child and the beliefs that I had. And shortly after I finished this healing program, because I met my second husband, my current husband, at that retreat. And
really?
Yeah.
Wow. Was it love at first sight or what happened there?
Well,
I love stories of how people meet.
Well, this is a pretty interesting story.
He had been there
before.
Let me do this real quick, and then we'll come back because I want to hear the story, okay?
Oh, sure.
So let's go back to how you met your second husband. I always like to hear stories.
So I was at this spiritual retreat. It was a summer camp long. It was kind of like play, a summer camp for adults. And we hung out, we did dancing, we did meditation, we took hikes. We played, and it was just wonderful. And I had met my current husband a few years before, and he had been gone a while. Not like one of the regulars. I was one of the regulars.
How did you meet him years before? Where was that?
I'm sorry, say that again.
How did you meet him years before?
Oh, he came to this summer camp before.
Okay,
and I had seen him. My teacher would do workshops in New York, and I had seen him a few times in New York. This was the time that we got together. He arrived, and you have to understand that a lot of these retreats, well, this one in particular was like maybe 75% women.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So here comes this good-looking dude who walks in. I mean, he was totally... And the guys that are there, they've been there forever, and... And you're not interested in them anymore because you already know they're like brothers. You don't really want to get. So he comes in, and I set my eyes on him and said, this is interesting.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
And I just made the move, and I beat out a lot of other women who were after him.
Yeah, you. Hello. How long ago was that?
How long ago was that? It was about 22 years ago.
22 years ago. Wow. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So what did he do, or what does he do, or what did he do?
At the time, he was teaching art and doing art. He was an artist, a sculptor, and he was teaching at a community college over in Pennsylvania.
Wow. Wow.
And he had broken up with his girlfriend. It had been about a year, and he was coming to the camp to sort of heal his wounds. And the camp was a really good place for people who didn't know where they were going next and kind of needed to, you know, get in touch with that inner wisdom.
So he was coming to the camp in a way the same reason that you were coming to the camp, to heal some wounds.
Right, but I had been coming to the camp for that for 13 years.
For 13 years, oh wow, okay.
I've been coming for a long time, but I was at that point where I was now ready to come back out into the world.
Yeah.
Ready for love again. I had gotten involved with some guy in New York, and that hadn't worked out, and I had said, you know what, I'm not getting involved with any of these guys anymore. Unless it's the real deal.
The real deal. Yes.
And I'm okay to go without for as long as it takes. Mm-hmm. I got my spiritual work. I'm fine. And so, of course, he showed up 2 weeks later.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah, that was funny? Pretty good manifesting on my part.
When I met Mary, she had come out to California to get away from her fiancé, sort of, because he was ready to get married, and she just wasn't. And she just said, I'm just... I'm done with men. I have a problem getting along with men, and I saw her stand in front of a hotel, and I just went nuts. And she saw me, and she sort of went nuts, and that was the rest is history. So, gosh,
that's a great story. It's a great love story.
Yeah.
So we connected,
connected.
Then when we were back out in the real world, as opposed
now,
to the
but this time lived, you already had your PhD in sociology.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yeah. I had gotten that before I lost, before the first marriage.
Before the first marriage. Okay.
So when we got back, he was living in Pennsylvania. I was in New York. We would get together, and I quickly realized that I started to see the patterns. I think there was some way in which the spiritual retreat had woken me up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had this observer self that I had never had before.
Yeah.
And I saw the patterns of whenever he would pull away from me, I would pull away from him, and I could see, well, even if he wasn't pulling away, I'd be looking for signs of it, you know?
Yeah.
I'd be looking for signs of being abandoned.
Yeah.
And so I decided that I needed some help, and that's when I decided to do this inner childhood. It was called the Quadrinity, or...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was like... It was mind, body, emotion, spirit, the four areas.
Yeah.
And it was a pretty powerful work. It was about the 13-week program. And I have to say, these things always are just starting points.
Mm-hmm.
We always have layers. It's like layers of an onion, and there are always other levels that you go to. But it was big.
Yeah.
And it had really brought my feelings back online. And just as I finished that, my parents started dying.
Oh, which at the risk of getting ahead, was that, do you think, the beginning of what you do now?
Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
It was totally.
So tell me about that, and then we'll spend the remaining hour talking about what you do now and how you can help. So tell me about your parents dying and how, what happened there.
So I came back. My father...
You came back from
Alzheimer's.
Where to? I'm sorry, your father. You came back from where to where?
Oh well, from the Midwest. Well, no, the Southwest.
Southwest.
I was living in the Southwest.
I had
been living in. I was already back in New York. I'm sorry.
Okay.
But the workshop was out in the spiritual retreat was out in the Southwest.
Yeah. Okay.
I had been living out there when I found it, and then I came back to the East Coast. And had been, you know, splitting my time between being at the spiritual work and being in on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And so after I, I know. Wait, I'm sorry, it gets confusing.
That's right.
I had already.